hopefully. Hi, Tony.
No.
We all had a good meditation. How was it for you, Mamo?
It's a little dusty at first, and then it was a very deep meditation from there.
Okay. When we are in a place where there is disturbances, you know, whether it's noise or feelings or whatever, the best way to remedy that is be aware, be conscious of the noise, but then go beyond it in this area and find the quietness. By doing that, we realize that the quietness is the base to this noise, and it won't get our attention. You know, that's. And another thing I wanted to say was, Tony, I was hoping you'd come tonight, because something you said, something you said last time we were here, that it was very, very lovely. You know, and I don't know if you remember it or not, but it was toward the end of the meeting, and what you said was so true that it just warmed my heart. It really did. I just felt like, God, this is really nice to know that you felt this way. And it was about asking a question of any sort. Mm-hmm. In our meditation, you ask if what you were hearing was truth. Mm-hmm. And then when the unmasking start happening, you realize that there is nothing but the truth. Mm-hmm. That, yeah. And that is a very, very high state. Any personal questions about anything?
In the last sessions, we learned that enlightenment can happen during riding a bicycle, during swimming, during dreaming, or during water skiing.
We went water skiing together. Oh my God, it can happen so easily there. Tony was saying, there is not a place that you can't find it, you know, it's there forever in the base of everything. Last time we were here, we were talking about something that to me is very precious and very important, and that was to see some of our night dream and realize that by contemplating, we find out that their only difference between night dream and daydream is the duration of time. In a night dream, barely time exists, which makes it even more closer to the truth than in the daydream. And as funny that it sounds, it really is in some cases sad, because if you don't know, then you will never get a chance to unmask. It just will be impossible. And we buy everything in face value. You know, there is a saying that say, don't take everything in a face value. And I don't even know if people saying it realize that. You know, face value, it's true. So many enlightened souls, including Richard and I, Guru, Sai Baba, which is an avatar, they talk about the state of enlightenment, the state of Buddha or Christhood, and they compare it to a deep sleep. They compare it to the deep sleep where what makes it a deep sleep is absence of the mind and the senses. And so by that alone, we realize that when the mind is not moving and the senses are not being shoot out, then we are in the state of being. Now, the question comes, how do we keep that state going in the daydream or night dream? And this is exactly why we consciously become aware of that state, because the state, when you go to sleep and you go to a deep sleep, you didn't take thought to do that. It wasn't of any of our doing. I didn't force myself to go to deep sleep. In fact, forcing or being consciously wanting to do it, it stops us from going to a deep sleep. It happened naturally. When the mind settled down, it just happened automatically. The same thing we can do in a daytime, the same manner, that's how we can actually bring it, is not, the state is not someplace we need to find. What we need to do is drop everything that occupies the mind too much. So if we can drop the junk, the empty room is always there. It is all these chairs and pictures and things that makes it look like it's crowded. So the reason I talk about that tonight is because it's a very enlightening to know that the stage of deep sleep, which is the closest to our own existence, can be experienced in a day and night sleep, in our lifetime. And that is to eliminate believing, conquerizing time. I know a few people, one of which is my own father, punctuous, which is a fantastic character. But to be life-threatening if one is not punctuous is a little bit overboard. There are people that they go by time, when they wake up, when they eat, when they leave the house, when they dress. When the time becomes everything in one's life. Then, after a while, the time begins to dictate you. And when we live in the time, the memory does not vanish because it's time-bind. So in order to release ourselves of the past and the future, the elimination of time as something that is crucial has to go. I mean, when you do that, you just show up at 7 here, not perhaps much earlier, because it's not so much the time that matters, it's the love and interest that matters, you know, and what you're doing. So the time has become too serious. I had a few minutes, I was sitting by Lake Virginia, and I was contemplating, and I realized that I really don't remember my past at all. I realized that the places I go, I don't know where they were. I really don't, and it's just vague. Now, normally they would take me to a doctor and find out what's wrong with me, but this is what happens when you begin to not pay too much attention to what is changing. Then it doesn't haunt you, the memory of it or the concern of it. It just doesn't grip you anymore. And you begin to loosen these ties with the past and present and future, because at that time there is not that conquerizing, that feeling of existence in this industry. So unmasking is, and I'm going to go through with everybody's practice, unmasking, Tony, is amazingly good, because by unmasking you don't bite into it anymore. And the news come to you, the world comes to you, but for some reason, because you have taught your mind to unmask and drop it, it is like a shell. It's like an ointment, I call it. It doesn't sit on you like a water. It just drops and leaves you with peace and deep understanding. We'll go with Richard. Richard was very much into long meditations and transcendental meditation and in the state of samadhi. And through a lot of discussion and his own understanding, he started doing the trust meditation. And of course, you saw that the whole life has to be consciously being aware of who we are not. Otherwise, we are in grip. As soon as we come out of this state of samadhi, we are in grip of what we left behind before we went in the state of samadhi. Now I'm going to come to Hans latest. With Mahmud, the experiences you had with omniscient, omnipresent, I can only tell you it was genuine from my own experience. So if you can continue expanding on that, the emergence becomes automatic. And then instead of consciously merging, the merging will suck you into it. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start seeing things without seeing, hearing things without hearing, in a subtle way, and knowing things without knowing, without having reason to know. So, going to Hans, is the interest that you have combined with your gratitude and your love and selfless service you give to the people undoubtedly will deepen itself because it has all the ingredients. It just needs a little bit more understanding given to it. So we all are in the same boat, really, and we are trying to cross the this world of samsara, which is the world of activity and tendencies, into a place where we are awakened when other people are asleep, and sleep when other people are awakened. Can anybody explain what that means?
When the person is asleep, they're asleep to the advantages and the pulls of the material dualistic world, and they're asleep to grabbing hold of that. And when they're asleep to the normal material world, yet they're awake to the inflow of wisdom and knowledge that comes from tapping into the sounds that they
that
have.
Comes from union. Yes. Yes.
I don't know if that's stated
yes.
too well.
Yes. And in most precious, it comes that symbolically we go through life with the eyes half open. The half that is shut is the half that is still and knows. The half that is open is just axed in the stage of life. So that brings us to someone